Logan, you hear Patrick Willis talk about your offense like that. I'm curious, how would you describe their defense and the way they played against you guys last night?
Well, they're a pretty good defense. You know, they shut us down there pretty good in the first half, so they had some answers for us, and we finally picked it up in the second half, but it was a little too late.
You know, we're looking at this game here, everyone's sort of surprised in how you guys came out of the gate. Was there anything surprised from their side of it in that front four and some of the pressure they put on you guys early on?
No. You know, they played good, and we knew they had good players, but our overall execution that first half was pretty bad between the turnovers, the penalties, just guys not making good blocks, drop balls. Just everything goes into it, and when you have that many mistakes going on, you're not going to score any points.
You think not having that extra day to really get out there and prepare? I believe you guys, is what Wednesday practice was almost like a walkthrough, I believe. But you think not having that extra day to get ready for them kind of attributed to your slow start in this game?
You know, I don't know exactly. Maybe a little. I think guys were ready. We just didn't start off that good, and if we'd have started off the way we played in the second half, we would have done a lot better. And you know, anytime you play a team that's only giving up 14 points a game on average, and I think we put up 30 something.
Yes,
we did pretty good there in the second half. If we could have done a little bit better in the first half, I think we could have had a better outcome.
You guys, especially at home in the second half of the year, have had some amazing offensive numbers. What is it like in the huddle as you guys are struggling there in those first 30-plus minutes? Is there a frustration that starts to mount because you haven't converted on third down and you're really having a hard time moving the football against that Niners defense?
Yeah, you know, we go on the field every time expecting to score. That's our job, first and foremost. And then when you go out there and have that many series in a row where nothing good is happening, three and outs, turnovers, it does get a little frustrating. And you just got to stay the course, and we finally got it figured out what we needed to do, and stuff started coming together.
You know, back-to-back weeks now, you guys have gone up against J.J. Watt and Alden Smith. Is there any way you can compare or contrast the two of them? They're both extremely talented, we know that.
Yeah, you know, they're both very good, and they're different types of players, but the main thing they both have is they're both very talented, and they both play hard. So when you get those two things, combinations together, it makes for a tough player to play against.
Yeah, what was the biggest difference? You know, everybody raved about the Houston Texans defense and their front seven last week and how physical they could be, and then you play against these guys this week. What was the biggest difference you saw in the two groups?
Probably the physicalness. I don't know about the total front seven, but the 49ers, their front three and those two outside linebackers are pretty physical. Those D linemen that the Niners have are big, physical, strong guys that play really hard, and they make you earn everything. Any yards in the running game, you're going to definitely have to earn it. They're not going to just get blown out of there. They're stout guys that they play their technique and play to the defense, and that's why they're good against the run.
Yeah, and Logan, I know you guys, and the way you guys like to play is take away that one person that can mess up the game for you. I know the 49ers had a few of those guys on their defense, but when this game started, we saw Alden Smith, who has 19 and a half sacks, giving you guys a little bit of trouble there, getting some pressure on Tom, and giving Vollmer a lot of trouble off the edge there. And it seemed like it took you guys quite a while to get him under control, and didn't seem like you sent any help over there to help him out early in the game.
Yeah, we believe in the guys we got on that line, and they do a great job each and every week, those tackles. And, you know, some weeks you're just going to have one of the best guys in the league, and you better hope you have your best game that day and do a good job. And I think he pressured us a few times there, but for the most part, I think those tackles did a pretty good job against him.
Well, I meant to say Soldier anyway on his side, but he did respond and got him under control there in the second half. He was really quiet, you know, until that last drive there when he was able to get some pressure on Tom. But I thought he got himself under control and really held his own there in the second half.
Yeah, Nate's been doing a great job for us all year, and it's only his second year, and he's just going to keep getting better and better as his career goes on too.
Logan Mankins joining us here on a Patriots Monday. You obviously made adjustments because you came out and you scored 28 in a row in the second half against a really good defense. Was it as simple, Logan, as a scheme adjustment, or was it a attitude adjustment in that maybe they were very physical early and it seemed to take you guys a little while to match their physicality up front?
Yeah, you know, I've had that question a few times now. What did you guys do different? The thing we did different was we executed better. Hmm. We made better blocks. Guys were making more blocks. We were getting a little more in the running game. Guys were catching the ball, making plays out in space. So that's what it came down to. It's just we didn't do a good enough job that first quarter and the second quarter of executing. And once we started executing and everyone was playing together, that's when we started moving the ball and scoring. And that's what it takes on offense. Everyone's got to be doing the everything together.
You guys fought back in this game offensively, put some points up and tied it up. Defense made some big stops, you know, getting the ball back for you guys several times to go down and score. Then the big kickoff return comes by LaMichael James there after you guys tied it up. Did you kind of feel, and I asked Branch the same question, did you feel the air just kind of leave the team a little bit after that big return?
I think so. I don't think anyone was expecting that to happen. I know the O-line, we're sitting down there, we're going, all right, they're kicking off. Defense, we know they're going to hold them to a three now. We're going to get the ball, go down and score, and win this sucker. And to see that long return, that hurt, but we still knew we had it. If we hold them to a field goal, we get the ball back. We could either tie it or win it. And it just didn't go our way. We didn't make the plays that we needed to there at the end.
What goes into your mind when you take the field and Ed Hockley is the official for your game?
Other than it's going to be a long game.
Let's let him answer here. And it's just the three of us just sitting around talking football. Ed Hockley, you see him on the field. Logan, what do you think?
Well, you always know there's going to be something controversial come out. Every time you see highlights and stuff like that, Ed's always in the middle of it. So you just hope you're not on the team that where those calls are going the other way.
Can you confirm he's paid by the word, Logan? I heard that that's true. Can you confirm that?
I don't know anything.
He gets paid by the airtime.
I was just disappointed he didn't have the guns out.
I thought you were going to say, what crosses your mind when you think of Ed Hockley is three sets of 20 superset curls.
He likes to do his curls.
But that explanation, I mean, you're on the sideline for it took 10 minutes, Logan, to explain that there was a legal touch, but there was a penalty. They're going to challenge it. It takes 10 minutes with decisions with this guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's carrying a rule book in his pocket and has to get it out and read it or what's going on, but it does take a while when he's out there.
How does it affect the players on the field? Because I'm sitting there watching the game with Lou and some other guys at Comcast, and I'm telling you, I can literally feel all of my excitement being sucked out of me through that whole process. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there watching, you know, a pretty good football game right now, you know, for a change here in New England. We hadn't seen many of those, but... And then you go on for 10, felt like 20 minutes when he's explaining this thing, and I just lost all excitement I had for the game there for a while.
Yeah, it's tough. You're on the sideline. Now you're just sitting there for 10 minutes. It's a cold night. You got to get warmed up again when it's time to go back out there. So
exactly.
Those things are tough, but, you know, it's part of the game out there, so you've got to fight through it.
That shouldn't be a part of the game when the referee can stop the game for 10 minutes. There's no injury. There's... Just over getting a call right now. I think it's just between that and some of the replays now, it's just a little bit ridiculous that you have to stand around for that long or the fans have to sit there in front of their televisions, you know, for 10, 15 minutes and not see anything, you know. Yeah. But
maybe they'll start calling it intermission when Ed is reffing a game.
Just think about that. 10 minutes. I mean, halftime is 12 minutes long.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's basically another halftime right there.
I think Logan just came up with a new nickname for Ed, Intermission Ed Hockley.
There you go.
That's what I'm
starting
calling.
We'll run with that one.
You said to us last week that you don't have to be told about what the standings are right now. You know kind of where you are and how important it would be to get a bye. With the loss last night, things have changed. Do you watch the teams that are in front of you now in the standings to sort of see if they win or lose on a week-to-week basis to get an idea for where you are? Is that something that Coach Belichick and the staff will update you on after games, before games, however it goes?
No, he's not going to update us on it. I think the team knows where we're at. We let one get away last night, and now we're the number three seed right now. So, you know, we're just going to go out and try to win these last two games and let the chips fall. And either we'll be up in the first two positions or we won't be, and we'll have to go out that first weekend and win a game. So,
well,
we just know that we need to start playing our best football, and we got to do better than we did last night.
Don't get caught slipping on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, definitely not.
They're pretty good.
All three phases.
Yeah, you know how we are here, Troy. We're gonna. It doesn't matter anyone's record. We know they're gonna give us our best shot. Every team we play gives us our best shot. Player, every team, they'd love to say they beat the Patriots.
Well, Logan, I tell you this. I asked Deion Branch the same question before he got out the air. There's a lot of people around here that have made reservations for New Orleans. Should they keep him or not keep him after last night's game?
Hell if I know. They still got two more games, regular season games, and then you got to get through the playoffs. So,
good answer.
I don't know.
I'd like
to think we could get there, but there's a lot of hard work ahead.
He is Logan Mankins.
Thanks,
that's a great answer.
Logan.
Here, if we don't talk to you, Logan, have a great holiday. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right, thanks, guys. You too.